Thank you, Kay. And I'm trying to load in my notes here. Let's start with prayer. Father, we give you thanks this morning for your love and your grace, and we give you thanks that you love us just the way we are. As we take a look at this passage, Father, may it draw us nearer and closer to you. In your name we pray, amen. Well, Clyde kind of already started this, but last week, here, I'm going to try to get into my, having issues this morning, but that's not new, is it? We're doing a sermon series called Amazing Grace, looking at God's amazing grace through the eyes of John Wesley. It's all up to you, Joshua. Hopefully I can remember what I'm doing. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But we're looking at the amazing grace through the eyes of John Wesley, who reflected on Scripture and noticed in lives of people that God operated in three different ways, his grace. One way was called prevenient. We looked at that last week. It's the grace that goes before. Today we're going to look at justifying grace. Next week we're going to look at sanctifying grace. And then on the 24th, that is Aldersgate Sunday, it's 1738, on May 24th, John Wesley went to Aldersgate Street, and he felt his heart strangely warmed. And so the bishop, to celebrate that, has asked all the clergy to share their story, their heartwarming story, their call to ministry, because we are all called to ministry. And so I'm planning to do that on the 24th. Now, last week, we looked at prevenient grace. And we saw Paul write that we were utterly helpless. Also, in Ephesians 2, he said we were dead through our trespasses and sins. Yet God provided a way for us. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. And some of you knew this was coming. This might be a surprise to some of others of you. We go to the next screen, and we have a quiz. You guys don't seem excited about this. I mean, it's Mother's Day, and there's a quiz. I mean, how much better could this get? Quiz on Romans 5:8. Clyde, to help jog your memory a little bit, but we're going to try to go through this because people say I can't memorize stuff, and so last week I tried to help you memorize, so we'll see how I did. All right, Romans, Paul had been saying that we're utterly helpless, that there is nothing we could do about our predicament, and then in Romans 5:8 he said, but God showed his love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. How'd you do? Not too bad. She did well. Oh, Clyde's like, I got it on my phone. I had no problem at all. But again, that verse, Romans 5:8, is, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And we go to the next screen, and there it is in all of its glory, reminding us that before we made any movement toward God, God was already moving toward us. Even when we were so far away from him, he was not far away from us. That's his prevenient grace. That is his love that is just displayed on us, even when, you know, we don't deserve it, and we certainly haven't earned it. And when I look at that, I have to say it reminds me somewhat of the love that we celebrate on Mother's Day. People are pointing at the screen. Did I do something wrong? What? Chris. Okay. Okay. Yeah, Chris. Well, actually, yeah. I can blame that on my friend that put the graphic over the scripture instead of the scripture. There we go. Yeah, the T, it's just a great big T. It's a great big T. Yeah, but this type of love, this amazing grace, reminds me of the love we celebrate on this day. And I said earlier that some of us struggle. I mean, some of us have great moms, we have a great relationship with them, and we enter into this day with gusto, and it's a celebration. Some of us, it's a little bit difficult because maybe our moms aren't with us anymore, or maybe they're a long way away, and so it's kind of hard to celebrate. And then there's some that just, you struggle. You struggle with the relationship that you have with your mother. And so it's not a good relationship, so you come to this day and it's like, I don't even know what I should be doing. But here's the thing. I don't think we're just celebrating moms. I think we're celebrating the love that God shows us through those motherly influences, whether it's a teacher at school. Some of you, you would have to say, my second grade teacher was more of a mom to me than my mom ever was. You might say, I had a neighbor that was like a mom to me, or I have the second mom. We have those folks in our lives because God has placed them there. And so we're celebrating this amazing grace. But sometimes moms can kind of be over the top a little bit with their love. My family and I have been watching this show called The Goldbergs. Anyone else discover this show, The Goldbergs? Okay, the Altmans and us. Okay, we're so you'll be tracking with me. The creation of the show, The Goldbergs, is from Adam Goldberg, and he based it on his family. And he actually took home movies, a lot of home movies growing up, and at the end of the show, sometimes they show a scene from the home movies that actually parallels a scene in the show, so that's kind of cool. But in this show, Beverly Goldberg, the mom, is just like over the top, let's look at the next screen, with something called mom goggles. And some of you moms have mom goggles. You know what I'm talking about, the mom goggles? It's the inability to see any sort of problem or deficiency in your children. They're awesome. They're great. No matter what they do, no matter how, you know, no matter what it is, they're the best. They're always the best. And that's a great thing about moms. But Beverly Goldberg, her mom goggles are very, very strong. And so I'm going to play a scene from the show this morning. And to set this up, her son Barry wanted to do the school talent show. And he was going to do a karate demonstration. He's not that good at karate. I'll just tell you up front. He's not that good. But his mom, having mom goggles, thought it was horrible that the school was not going to let him perform. One of the reasons why is because he wasn't very good. They didn't want him to be embarrassed. So she goes to the school, and she has a conversation with some teachers. Any teachers here? You know what those conversations are like? Yeah? So you know what those conversations are like. And then we pick up the scene when Barry comes home with some very good news. Let's go ahead and take a look.
I got into the talent show. That's good news and very surprising to me.
Mr. Glasscott said the Tri-State Talent Show Committee met and ruled that karate is an art form.
Wow, the Tri-State Talent Show Committee met. You know, that's almost unbelievable.
Well, it happened, so let's just move on.
Oh man, we're back in business. Let's get to work.
I'll go get my nunchucks and firecrackers.
No firecrackers! So, you threatened a teacher.
Please, I just gently suggested that he do what I say or there'd be dire consequences.
Why does he go trotting down to the school and yell at somebody every time one of our kids doesn't get their way?
I'm involved. That's a good thing.
You are out of control.
I had no choice, Murray. Have you even seen Barry do karate? It's like a beautiful ballet, but with punching and grunting and rolling around.
He quit after 8 lessons because he didn't want to bike the 6 blocks to get there. It hardly makes him Chuck Norris.
Oh, really? Barry, get in here.
What?
Your father would like a sneak peek of your routine before the big show.
Adam, get the firecrackers.
No firecrackers!
No firecrackers.
Kia!
Dragon stance! Kia!
You got the
Tiger, Nia, Sumo, Tomahawk Chop, Nia. Assistant, present weaponry.
Nunchucks.
Nunchucks. Oh, that's okay. I'm okay. Bow staff. Oh, sorry. Nia. And now, the most deadly weapon of them all. My hands. Oh, no! A robber! Don't worry, Kelly LeBrock. I'll save you. Don't now. You're supposed to hit me. This one. Adam. Jeez, you're supposed to disarm. You're supposed to let go. He has been disarmed. And now, the big finish. Break during the show.
That was the greatest thing my eyeballs have ever, ever seen.
Do you want me to go again?
Yes!
We're going again!
Yes!
Turns out not everyone had mom goggles.
Do it again.
Yes. Not Yeah, not everyone has mom goggles. But you've seen these in action, haven't you? You've seen parents that, like, no matter what their kids do, it's like the greatest thing my eyeballs have ever seen. I love that. But sometimes we can kind of get confused because we talk about God's grace and God's love, and we start thinking that maybe God has some mom goggles when he looks at us. But John Wesley was very clear, and he says, God does not look at us in untruth. He looks at us in truth. He looks at us in reality. So the question is, how can someone like us, who is utterly helpless, who's dead through their trespasses and sins, ever have a relationship with a God who cannot exist in sinfulness? God is holy. He is perfect. And so it's like there's this chasm between us. And so prevenient grace gets us to the point to realize these things. The question is, how can we ever be made right with God? How can we ever be justified before this holy and awesome God? And Paul writes this. We go to the next screen. And he writes about this in Romans chapter 3. He says, but now God has shown us a way to be made, and what's it say? Right. To be made right with God without keeping the requirements of the law. Because that was the problem. The Jews thought in order to be made right with God, you had to perform the law perfectly. And so you had to live this perfect life. But Paul's argument is, let me take a poll here. How many of you have lived a perfect life according to the laws and regulations of God? It's okay, you don't be shy. No takers. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, you know, we fall short. And so something has to happen. And he says, God has made a way. He said, this was promised in the writings of the law, in the Moses and the prophets long ago. And then he lets the Romans know what that way is. He says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in whom? Jesus Christ. In Jesus. He is the way, Paul says. He is the path. And he says, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Doesn't matter if you're Jew, doesn't matter if you're Greek, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter your education, doesn't matter what you've done with your past. It is open for everyone. Because as we see in the very next verse, we have all sinned. Everyone's in the same boat. Well, I took a poll. Everyone here, everyone's willing to admit, yeah, I've sinned. I have fallen short. Exactly what he says here. We have all fallen short of God's glorious standard. Now, you know, I went to seminary a long time ago, and let me tell you, it was a hoot. You know, we were just laughing all the time. I'll give you an example. We were looking at this passage, this verse, Romans 3:23, and the professor says, you know, he reads it, he says, everyone's fallen short of God's glory. He said, so you see what the problem is? The problem is our falling shorts. That's about as good as it gets. You know, and everyone chuckled. And so in my mind, every time I read this, I see someone with shorts that keep falling down. And that's a problem, right? It's embarrassing. It isn't quite right. And Paul says, our problem is the fact that we have fallen short of God's glory, of his glorious standard. But he has made a way. And he continues on in verse 24, and he says, yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. See, he's not putting on mom goggles. He's declaring us a certain way, and when God declares it, I'm pretty much sure that's the way it is. He declares it. He's the one that sets it. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. That's how we are made right with God, by believing that this was done for us and placing our faith in him. He said God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. So when we place our faith in Jesus, we become right as rain. I called the sermon that, having no idea it was going to be pouring down today. And in fact, I think I told Clyde, I'm not even sure what the phrase means. It just seemed right at the time that God makes us right as rain. That even though we have fallen short, even though we are sinners, God makes us right through faith in Jesus Christ. And we go to the next screen, And this is not from Romans, but I believe this verse encapsulates what John Wesley was talking about when he talked about justifying grace. Prevenient grace is the grace that goes before, but it's a grace that leads us to a point of placing our faith in Jesus. And placing our faith in Jesus is part of God's justifying grace, because God has taken it on himself to make us right with him. And since I believe this verse encapsulates justifying grace, is it okay if we try to memorize this one today? I don't know how well last week went, but if there's two verses that you memorize, memorize these as well, so that way you will have four verses memorized. See what I did there? Yeah, add these to them. When we first read this verse, it might not make a lot of sense, but as you start breaking it down, I believe the truth becomes very, very humbling and very, very touching. Paul writes, for who? For our sake. That's where this begins. For our sake. It was for us. It was for you. It was for me. It was for us. It was for our sake. He, and I'll just tell you at this point, he's referring to God. There's some pronouns in here we have to figure out. But it's God. So for our sake, he made, and we've got another phrase here, him to be sin who knew no sin. So it's like, who's Paul talking about? Anyone have any idea who Paul's talking about here? Jesus, right. Because it's say, he who knew no sin. The only person I know is Jesus. And what did God do? He made him to be sin. Let that sink down. The one that knew no sin, God made him to be sin. Jesus took that on himself, even though he did not know sin. So far we've got, let's repeat this together. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. And the next two words? So that. It comes up again. Those of you in FCJ, you've seen this word so many times in so many different contexts. Well, today it's right here in the scripture. God did this. He made Jesus to be sin for our sake. For our sake he did this. Made Jesus to be sin so that, and this is the most important preposition. Is this a prepositional phrase in him? Would that be considered a phrase? All right, I think this is the most important in the verse. In him. Let's just say that together. In him. Not out on our own, not in any other way. It's in him. In who? In Jesus. In Jesus. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Incredible. Incredible. Some have called this the great exchange. I'm thinking it is the great exchange. We give Jesus, what do we give him? Our sin. And what's he give us? His righteousness. Yes, he gives us his grace, but this verse is saying, no, we might become the righteousness of God in him. Not outside of him, not in ourselves, not in some other way, not through all the works that we might do, not through going to church or Bible study or choir or any of that stuff. All that is outside. It's when we are in him, in Jesus, that we might become the righteousness of God. And the verb here for might become is what's called a middle, which means that there's a cooperation going on. And I think he's referring to what John Wesley would call sanctifying grace that we will look at next week. We'll look at that next week. But this is incredible. I mean, Jesus has taken on our sin, so in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God does not have these mom goggles that I talk about. But when he looks at us, he doesn't see our sinfulness. He sees the righteousness of Jesus because we are in him. And actually in Galatians, I think chapter 3, somewhere around verse 27, he talks about being clothed in the righteousness of God. It's like we're taking on Jesus as our clothing. It's righteousness. And it's right here. Let's try this again. Ready? For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It seems like a complex verse to memorize, doesn't it? But all you have to remember is for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that, and that's easy to remember, in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's quite the flip here. And the whole end game of this, what God has done through Jesus, through his justifying grace, we find on the next screen, which is, and this is from Romans chapter 5, verse 11. We looked at this a little bit last week. So now we can what? Rejoice. Rejoice. I meet so many Christians that their faith is flat. They don't rejoice in it. Why? Because I don't think they know that in Jesus they might become the righteousness of God. I think they're still trying to work it out in other places, and so we're not really in him. So we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Incredible. Incredible. How can someone like us be made, have a relationship with God? Well, not by God looking and just saying, well, yeah, I know he's a mess, but, you know, I love him anyway because he's mine. No, God makes us right. He declares us right. That's what Paul says. There's a change that happens in us when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. Prevenient grace gets us almost there. But then we have to take a step of faith. And the cool thing about justifying grace, we go to the next screen, is we learn that there are no goggles required. Because we might become the righteousness of God. Now, if you put up with me for a little bit, I'm going to try to create an analogy. And all analogies, they, as they say, break down at some point. All right? So let's just pretend that you're going to a pool party. All right? I tend not to like to go to pool parties anymore because you have to go in a swimsuit and stuff. And, you know, the more clothes I can wear, the better. That's my rule of thumb. The more, the better. But anyway, you're invited to a pool party. And so you're walking around the pool, and there's a deck on the pool. So just the fact that you are invited to the pool party and you're on the deck, imagine that is God's prevenient grace. It got you to the pool. Now, usually the way you get to the pool is someone invites you, right? You know, you don't want to be a party crasher, so someone invites you. What I wish I would have said last week, but I didn't, you didn't really have time to say this, is God's prevenient grace draws us closer to him. And if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have a part in God's prevenient grace for someone else. All right, God has perhaps put you in the life of someone else as part of his prevenient grace. Let's imagine for a moment, you're sitting in church, and for whatever reason, the church decides to do testimonies. Churches don't do that as much as what they used to. And someone stands up, and they come up to the microphone, and they say, I just want to give God thanks for what he has done in my life. I'm so glad that I'm here this morning. And it all started about 6 years ago, and all of a sudden, they mention your name. It started 6 years ago when Melanie Gardner started coming into the gas station because I worked there. She'd get coffee every day, and we just kind of would chat a little bit and stuff. And then one day I was going through some difficult things, and she could tell, and she asked me about it. And she said, hey, can I pray with you? And I said, well, sure, that would be nice. And right there at the gas station, she prayed a short prayer. But it started me thinking about God. You see what God's doing here? It's God's prevenient grace. I started thinking about God. And I kept thinking about God, and I started, you know, watching stuff on TV, started looking at my Bible. And then one day I asked her, what church do you go to? And she tells me, and she invited me. And so I started coming here, and I started getting involved. And about 2 years ago, I said yes to Jesus. Where did that start? Started with Melanie going into a gas station to get a cup of coffee. That's how God's prevenient grace works. It gets you to the place. It gets you to the pool. If you look at the pool, you get to the edge of the pool and you look and say, the people in the water is like God's justifying grace. And they're in there and they're splashing around. And what are they all telling you to do? Jump in. Come on in. The water's fine. And you're not sure about it. You're standing on the edge. You're like, I'm not sure. So you dip your toe in, right? Yikes, I'm not sure I like how that feels. It looks like they're having a great time. It looks like everything's going well, but I'm not too sure about it. that maybe at some point you decide to jump in and that water surrounds you, just like when you say yes to Jesus, his grace and his love just surround and fill you up completely. We will continue this analogy next week. But this morning, I have to ask, how many of you are still standing on the deck? You know, the deck is not God's justifying grace. You're to that point, and maybe you've come to church your whole life. You've come to church this whole time, but you have never actually taken a step into the water of God's love through Jesus Christ. You've tried to find some other way to do it. And if someone asks you about your faith, you'll tell them everything that you do. Well, I do this and I do that. But the question is, have you ever placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ? Paul says that's what makes us right. And it says, in him, what? We become the righteousness of God. We might become the righteousness of God. Not outside of him. And so this morning, I think, if you are here, then that's at least God's prevenient grace working in your life. The question is, have you taken that step to say yes to Jesus? Because he is inviting you into the waters of his love. And this morning, if you feel your heart, in your heart, you're thinking, you know what, I am still standing on the deck. I still haven't made that jump into the water. And maybe today is as good a day as any to take that step of faith. Because so much, I want to be made right with God. I've done all these other things, and it just, there's something missing. Well, this morning, I want to pray with you. Would you pray with me? Let's join together. Father, for far too long, we stand on the deck of the pool. Sometimes we look in and we see the people in there and it seems like they have peace and it seems like they have joy, but we're still not sure for whatever reason. But this morning, Father, I have decided, I've come to the conclusion that if I'm going to be made right with you, it is only through your Son, Jesus Christ, through placing my faith in him and by jumping into the water. And so, Father, this morning I say yes. I jump. I jump fully and completely. I say yes to you. I say yes to the sacrifice that Jesus has made on my behalf. I'm taking his righteousness and I'm giving him my sinfulness because there's nothing else that I can do. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me, for saving me. I place my faith in you. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen.